is help us to take it into our hearts and make it a part of our lives, that, Father, we'd be very practical Christians. Lord, I pray you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Get around y'all. I start hacking and everything. Okay, talking about the tongue, and in verse number 2, it talks about a perfect man, and you know, it's not talking about sinless, but it's talking about spiritually mature and growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And it says, you know, you're able to bridle the tongue, you're going to control the whole body. What you look at, things you do, places you go. And then it talks about how powerful it is, because you're able to, if you control the tongue, you're able to bridle the whole body. And Proverbs says it this way: he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. See, issues of the tongue reveal other issues. Because most people get running ugly at the tongue because they've done what? They've lost their temper, and they've gotten angry. Amen? Now, I know you all have never done this. Just get angry and vengeful over next to nothing. Talk about making a mountain out of the proverbial molehill. Thank you very much. I know you all haven't done it. You know, sometimes your kids are just looking at you, and they're thinking, what in the world is wrong with them? They are blowing their stack over, and you can fill in the blank. Yeah. Crumbs under the table. God forbid. A burger wrapper on the floor of the back seat of the car. Now listen, I'm not for dirt, but I mean, can we keep things in perspective here?
Yeah.
Huh? Okay? And there's nothing wrong with these kids looking at you sometimes and going, whoa, whoa. They sit here in church. They listen to preaching. They're taught the Word of God. They know how you're supposed to act. Say amen. They're just like lost people. They know how a Christian's supposed to be. Amen. When you start acting like a raving lunatic, they're saying, yeah, I don't think this is what the preacher's talking about. Are we okay? But the fact of the matter is, no member of the body is more ready to offend than the tongue. Boy, you rule the tongue, you're in good shape. Look at verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Now, I don't think this is talking about a Shetland pony, okay? Now, it's probably not a Clydesdale. You know, an average horse is about 1,000 pounds, 1,200, 900, 1,500. That's a big animal, amen? And you put that little piece of metal in that thing's mouth, and you can turn that horse. Were you a horseback rider, Kevin? Very little. Yeah, I did very, very little. And I don't want to do any more until the second coming. Amen. That's right, Brianna. Next time you see Pop on a horse, it'll be a white one, and I'll be in a glorified body. Amen? But people that know how to ride horses, it doesn't matter how mean or how headstrong that animal is. You put that bit in its mouth, what's going to happen? You're going to control that animal. I was reading today, they talk about how sensitive a horse is. A horse's mouth. A horse's mouth is. Well, here's the comparison God's trying to give us. We put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their what? 1,000 pounds at least. Verse 4, behold also the ships. Now, as soon as they say ship, okay, I'm sure all of us have a different picture, but I am looking at one of those old-fashioned schooners that has 18 sails, 3 masts, you know what I'm talking about? And that great ship is turned about, the Bible says, driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. And so we're talking about ruling the tongue, ruling the whole body. We're talking about a horse and a bit control his whole body. Then man's compared to a ship and the tongue to the rudder. And you got that little rudder governing the whole body or the whole ship. Verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a what? A little member. Well, some members are bigger than the other members. And boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Do you know what that tongue has a capability of being? Has a capability of being great and wonderful influence for good. Now think about it. It's a little member. You talk about in comparison of the whole body, it's one of the littler members, and yet it boasteth great things. Well, I looked up the definition of boast, and there wasn't a whole lot of good to say about it, okay? It said to brag or vaunt oneself, to make an ostentatious display in speech of one's own worth, property, or actions. And it said, Ephesians 2:9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. Can't boast about it. But when you talk about the tongue, okay, as a little member, it can be used for great things, for doing great things. And yet at the same time, it can be used for evil things. And it mentions here how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Do y'all remember the story of that bear they call Smokey the Bear? Do y'all remember how that whole thing got started? Somebody was camping in one of those big national forests, and they left the campfire going, and it set the whole thing on fire, and hundreds of thousands of acres burned, and the firefighters found this little burned cub, and they called him Smokey the Bear because he survived, and then he became the poster child for, you know, put out your fires and the thing like that. But you're talking about a little campfire that started what? A fire that destroyed hundreds of thousands. When I was down in Florida, there was fires raging. They were in a drought down there. The folks I stay with stay on a canal. The canal was over 3 feet lower than when I was there in January, just in January. So they're in a drought situation. Over 70,000 acres have burned in that. They're often, one morning, we walked out. This guy feeds bread to the fish. And walked out, and you could smell the smoke. And it was miles away, the actual fire, but the smoke was blown. 70,000 acres. Little fire does a lot of destruction. Well, that tongue can be used to destroy, or it can be used, it can be a benefit instead of a burden. You know what? The tongue can help guide through storms of life. The tongue is what Pastor Matt and Brother Dan are using to try to help those Indian preachers. The tongue is what you heard the gospel with that you could get saved. Do you follow what I'm saying? The tongue is what the singers sing, the songs of Zion, that edify the heart and soul of the believer. The tongue is what you use when you tell somebody about Jesus. The tongue is what we use in public prayer and sometimes just in our own prayer. You know, we talk out loud to God, however it might be. There's so many good things. We can give encouraging words. And so I think that as we study it, we see it says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Well, don't you think it's a great thing when somebody gets saved? Well, how do they get saved? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somebody spoke it. That's a great thing. And listen, I've not won a whole lot of people to the Lord, but I'm sure glad I've won some people to the Lord. Amen. And that's a great thing. Behold, how great a matter. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire. And so once again, here we have the contrast in the tongue. It could be used for good, but it's often used for evil. Look what it can be used for. Destruction. Verse 5. the last part, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. How many people do you think are out of church today, saved people, because of the tongue? How many churches you think had their reputations and communities ruined because of the tongue? How many people's testimonies and reputations do you think have been ruined because of the tongue? It's destructive. Not only is it destructive, it's degrading. Look at verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of what? A world of iniquity. Well, what's a world of iniquity mean? It means it's a heap of evil. It's a world of trouble. There is no end of the evil which the wicked tongue can produce. Lies, blasphemy, dirty talk, gossip, tale-bearing, fault-finding. Boy, we're good at that, aren't we? I wonder why we find it so easy to find faults in others, but we can't ever find a fault in ourselves. Amen? I mean, we will talk nonstop, running somebody else down, but if somebody just brings up one fault in us, buddy, we got 50,000 reasons why it's okay for us to have it. Or we'll justify it just like that. I said, why? Because we're wicked. Lies, blasphemy, dirty talk. There's no place for dirty talk. Do you understand? You guys work out in the world, you are going to hear dirty talk. You sit in front of that stupid television, you're going to hear dirty talk. And it's accepted. It's accepted in our society. But it's never acceptable to the Holy Ghost. It's never acceptable to a holy God. Tale-bearing, fault-finding, slander, and even flattery. Flattery, you're just trying to catch somebody. So it's degrading. Look at verse 5. It says it's a world of, verse 6, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. So it's destructive, it's degrading, it's defiling. You defile other people with your tongue. You can, guys, this is a wicked, wicked thing saved people do. You don't like somebody, you don't like Peter. And maybe you guys had a falling out about somebody. But I mean, Peter's trying to live for God. You're trying to live for God. You just got... But you know what? I talk to you, and I can get you thinking bad about Peter, and you don't even know Peter. That's the devil's work. Okay, it's okay if you don't like somebody. Just keep your mouth shut about it. Say amen. Got no right defiling other people. It infects the whole person. Let me show you something. Keep your finger there and go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Look at verse 6 of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. You get that tongue running, defiling everybody, you're going to defile your own body, your whole mind, your whole body. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse number 6. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to what? Sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was what? What do we say? Oh, I didn't really mean that. Yeah, you did. Yes, you did. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen? Wherefore should God be angry at thy what? At thy voice, and destroy the work of thine hands. That's pretty strong stuff right there. So that tongue can be destructive, degrading, defiling. Look at verse 6 again in James chapter 3. It's a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. So that's talking about how devastating it can be. It setteth on fire the course of nature. And my illustration would be a little fire and 70,000 acres be burned. Hey, how about this? How about you're raised in a Christian home and you're raised in a good church and you marry up and you've done right, you've kept yourself pure, your mate's kept herself pure, and you live together for 15 years and you have a couple children, three children, and you serve the Lord. And then one day, one walks in and says, I don't love you anymore. I'm leaving. That's devastating. I don't know that firsthand, But I have some friends that that's happened to. That's devastating. And it's all what? The tongue. And where did it come from? That heart. That's a bad deal, amen? It's devastating. But not only that, words can infect our entire life. Some people can never get over it. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't get over it. You should get over it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I mean, you know, one of the things about getting old and losing your memory is that you forget a whole lot of stuff that you don't need to remember. And I'm really glad that I have. Amen? I need to forget some things. I said, why? It would trip me up. That tongue can be the instrument that the devil uses because of the wrath in your heart, the malice in your heart, the wantonness in your heart, the pride in your heart. And what can that do? That'll set the whole course of your life. And it'll be a bad course. You know, I have met older saved people that have been through some bad deals. And you know what they are? They're bitter. And you only have to spend 3 minutes with them, and what do you find out? They're bitter. They don't have nothing good to say about God, the Bible, church, Christianity, nothing. And I have purpose in my heart. I don't want to end up that way. But I'm going to tell you something. People are going to say some nasty things. Words. People are going to use their tongue. The devil's going to take a carnal, fleshly person, and they're just going to run rampant. And buddy, it's going to hurt. It's devastating. Well, you can let them take you down, or you can trust the grace and the power of God and get some victory by the grace of God. Say amen. There is nothing in that book that gives you an excuse to be a loser. The only thing in that book is about victory, is about overcoming, and about being on the winning side for the glory of God. Are y'all with me? No. You can't sit back and suck your thumb and say, well, I've been through such a bad deal. No. Everybody's been through deals, okay? And there hath no temptation taken us, but such as is what? Common to man. And so you're not all by yourself. There's people who went through a whole lot worse than you and I. Let me show you something else. I think the tongue can be devilish because it says, is set on fire of what? Well, who do you always refer to? Who is always a reference to hell? It's a devil. It's a devil. And so the source of an evil tongue is the devil. He's wicked. That tongue shouldn't be wicked. Let me show you something. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 12. I'm sorry, my voice is all messed up. My wife was home from school today. I was shouting at her a bit. Matthew 12, look at verse 34. The Bible says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Doesn't that just set you back a little bit? Doesn't that bother you that every word that you have ever spoken, you're going to give account of that at judgment? No, it doesn't bother you? You've never run your mouth when you shouldn't have run your mouth? Things spoken that you thought spoken were in secret are going to be exposed? That verse bothers me. You talk about a hard saying. Look at verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be what? Justified. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Go over to chapter 15 in Matthew, verse 18. 15, verse 18. Hey, you know what I believe in? I believe in sanctification. And I believe sanctification starts in the heart. You with me? In other words, setting aside sin. And it says here about the heart. And I'm telling you, some of the most judgmental, critical, long-tongued people have been people that have had some convictions in their life. And you know what they've become? Pharisees. And I am, listen, I am for separation. I am for sanctification. I am not going back. Me personally, I'm talking about. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am not putting shorts on. I'm not walking around in underwear. Okay, I'm not putting jewelry on. I'm not growing my hair long. Are y'all with me? Okay, as long as she's my wife, she ain't wearing breeches. Do you understand that? Shorts, tank tops, bathing suits. All, you know, what you guys do is your business. I'm not giving that up. I believe it pleases the Lord. The reason I do it is to please the Lord and to be a witness to this lost world. Guys, you dress halfway modestly. You dress like a lady. You dress like a man. You stick out in this society. Hey, how do men dress in America? Here it is. T-shirt, shorts, flip-flops. Say amen. Amen. It can be December with 6 inches of snow. T-shirt, shorts, flip-flops. How about women? T-shirt, shorts, flip-flops. Sounds like unisex to me. But just because you dress like that, that doesn't make you spiritual. Do you understand me? Going to church doesn't make you spiritual. Tithing doesn't make you spiritual. Listen, this is important for you kids to get. Your parents' convictions are good convictions. But you can't just label everybody as hating God that doesn't have the same convictions as you. You know nothing about their background. Nothing. And so this is what that's just my introduction to reading here. Because listen, I'm not backing up, but I'm tired of people who have some few convictions being Pharisees and damning people to hell, women who wear pants or guys who wear shorts or like that, because you don't know nothing. And I didn't say to agree with it, but you're not a Pharisee about it. And am I making any sense here? Okay, so I'm in chapter 15, I'm going to pick up in verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Because the Pharisees were fussing about what you're eating and stuff. Verse 19, for out of the heart proceed what? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries. Hey, nobody ever jumped in a bed of adultery in an instant. But that's been running through their mind and through their heart. They've been thinking on it, planning, all that kind of... Y'all understand what I'm saying? Murders. You don't just pick up and shoot somebody. It's down in your heart. And so the Bible goes on. Murders, adulteries, fornications. Hey, you kid, we could have young people in this church that are thinking about fornicating right now. That's because of a wicked heart. I sure wouldn't feed that wicked heart with wicked TV, wicked movies, wicked internet. I'd say you and I got enough of wickedness to contend with without flooding the gates. Amen. And so fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. And so what I'm talking about is the tongue being devilish and setting a fire and being like the devil. Lehman Strauss said this, I read this quote today, behind every word that is unclean, untrue, angry, divisive, unkind, is Satan himself. Hey, what is the devil? He's the father of what? Lies and slander. And John 8:44 says that he's the father of lies, and that if you're a liar, then you do like your father. Your heavenly father, if you're saved, he's what? He's the way, the truth. He doesn't speak lies. It's good to get the lion out of our lives. Now go back to James chapter 3, verse 7. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Do you understand what that's saying? They've made pets out of everything, right? I mean, King Kong was made a pet out of, you know what I mean? I mean, people have pythons for pets, snakes, rattlesnakes, you know, giraffes, rhinoceroses. They've all been what? They've all been tamed. They've all been put in cages or behind bars or grates or something in the sky, in the sea. I mean, we've been to zoos and stuff. You see birds that are enclosed in cages, okay? They've all, that's what it's trying to say. Every kind of beast, of birds, of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. Do you really believe that? Well, that's what it says. It says no man can tame the tongue. That's what it says. But it's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. What's unruly evil mean? It can't be constrained. It can't be kept in bounds. We've kept beasts and birds and fish and everything in cages and grates and bars and all that stuff, but we can't restrain, we can't keep the tongue in bounds. No man can. Some of you are looking at me like I'm nuts. You're the ones that can't keep it in, not me. Amen. Are y'all just tired or something tonight? Or just backslid as hell? See, we don't like the tongue. You know what? There's probably some of you ran your mouth today, lost your temper, your kid, over something volcanic, gigantic. And now you don't like me preaching on it. Well, your kid likes me preaching on it because they wish that you wouldn't be blowing up at them all the time. Go ahead, kids. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Come on, shout it out. Amen.
Amen.
Help my parents.
Amen.
Boy, you're in trouble when you get home. I'm just kidding. If they whip you for saying amen in church, you tell me. I'll whip them next week when I come back. Sunday morning. Poole said this. Matthew Poole said this. I'm quoting him. No man of himself and without the assistance of divine grace can bring his tongue into subjection and keep it in order. Hey, guys, here it is. If you're walking in the Spirit, are you going to commit adultery? If you're walking in the Spirit, are you going to steal? Do you follow what I'm saying? Well, if you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to use your mouth for the devil's as a tool of the devil? No. Okay, if you're walking in the Spirit, are you going to lose your temper? No, and then so your mouth won't erupt like a volcano, right? And so the normal Christian life is to reckon the old man to be dead. I mean, how much cussing are those people in the graveyard doing? How much slandering are they doing? Why? They're dead. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And so instead of using that thing as a tool for the devil, use it for the glory of God. A kind word, a pleasant hello, a witness for Jesus Christ, a commendation, appreciation as a witness for Christ. There's so much we could use it for good, but we're eat up. That tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And it's because that heart's not right with God. Hey, wouldn't it be good if from this day forward we never offended God or others with our tongue? I mean, we can't change the past, so we might as well not even go there. But how about from now on? Huh? How about being slow to speak? I mean, could I pick some of y'all out by name and tell you need to be slow to speak? Oh, I'd offend you, wouldn't I? Some of you just need to keep your mouth. Hey, did you ever notice this? Sometimes you get into a group of people. It can be a group of two or three or four or five, and it just gets quiet. And you can see people start to perspire. Quietness bothers people. And so the wheels, you can actually hear the wheels grind. I got to say something. I got to say. Hey, here, say this one. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. How about this one? Be still and know that I'm God. Now, I'm not against fellowshipping and talking, you know that. But I mean, sometimes you got nothing to say. And so you're just going to start saying stuff without thinking. And then you're going to say something stupid or offensive or degrading or not even the truth. Hey, I'm telling you something. If you guys would be quiet, if you women would be quiet, people would think you were smart. But you open your mouth and all doubt's gone. You ain't smart. Yeah, I think it'd be good if we never offended God from this point on with our tongue, or we wouldn't offend others. You know what else it's compared to? Look, let's go back there to James. Look what it says. But in verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of what? Deadly poison. Ay, ay, ay. The wickedness of the tongue is now compared to poison. I mean, fire of hell. I mean, poison hurts people. Poison kills people. Look at Psalm 140 with me. Psalm 140. Psalm 140. Dan, what time is it? A little after 8. Could be quarter after 8, 20 after 8, 2 minutes after 8. I'll take 2 minutes after 8. Psalm 140. Look at verse 1. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for what? This is a violent person. They have sharpened their what? Like a adder's what? Poison is under their lips. Whoa. The tongue and poison sharpened their tongue like a serpent. Man, that poison of the tongue is no more deadly than the poison of an adder. You know, tongues have murdered people's testimonies, their reputations, slander. Did you? How many arguments with the tongue do you think ended up in murder? The anger of the heart, spewing through the mouth, the tongue, and then the anger being responded upon, and people kill each other. It's a crazy thing. Quarrelous words. Verse 9. Therefore, therewith, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. Holy Toledo. Hey, parents, did you ever think about this? You testify in church, you sing in church, you give testimonies of the Lord blessing in church, and then you turn around and you scream and name call and talk ugly to your children. How are we doing? Hey, kids, pay attention up here. Do you understand? How do you think that goes over? I mean, what if I said one thing from the pulpit and talked to you another way out of the pulpit? You say, well, you can't do that. You're a preacher. No, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. And you're not supposed to do that. Remember, be ye angry and what? Sin not. Sin not. I take Steph's raising for granted, okay? I didn't meet her until she was 20-some years old. But her daddy left the home, and her mom was in church. And, you know, you automatically think, okay, she was with Brother Hank Thompson, so everything in her home was like Pastor Thompson's home. Well, that's not true, just like everything in your home isn't like it is at Keenan's home. Say amen. And Steph is a wealth of information sometimes about, because, you know, she didn't have a dad in the home, and then her mother was trying to run things. And Pastor Matt just told me this. I hope I'm not embarrassing you. Hard to embarrass you. But this is what she said. She said that, you know, her mom, she said she would do something at school, maybe get a demerit or something like that. And then she'd get home, and her mother would get mad, call her names and all that kind of stuff, and then not spank her for it, but then for the next 4, 5, 6 days, remind her about it, call names about it, till in her young mind, she's saying, why don't you just whip me and let's get this over with? For you, that is a terrible thing to do to a child. Correction is one thing, but let's correct it. Let's get it straightened out. Let's get it under, and then let's restore that fellowship. God is not some mean old man sitting on a throne seeing how ugly he can be with you. He loves us. He wants to fellowship with us. Our children are supposed to learn about the love of God from us. Is that right? Man. It's amazing. Our kids do as good as they do with us as parents. Amen? I tell you what. Some of us are nuts. I mean, we're certified. We got papers. Huh? Some of you young adults, you should have a shirt that says survivor. And they said, would you survive? My parents. Now, I'm trying to add a little levity here, but this is serious business. Okay, you parents think you're right when you blow your top and you bring those kids out and you're not in the spirit. That's wrong. Correction is right, but it must be done right, spirit-filled. My Lord chastens me because He loves me, not because He hates me. I'm telling you guys, in 42 years of pastoring, I've seen parents that have a hatred towards their children. So, oh no, I love my children. You know what? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And you call those children ugly names, and that anger can just flare up at the slightest little thing. There's some heart issues there that you need to take care of. And I don't know what it is. I'm no psychiatrist. I don't believe in psychology. I believe in the Bible. I believe that heart's not right. That thing gets agitated. What's down in that heart comes out. Now, that's not what you want coming out. Especially, see, there's that contradiction of the tongue. We're going to sing the praises of God. We're going to witness for the Lord. We're going to bless God. And at the same time, we're going to cuss people. Okay, look at the next verse. Verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? I mean, you go over to the kitchen tap and you turn on the water, get a glass of water to drink. And, one time it's sweet and one time it's bitter? It shouldn't be. Well, how about with us? And you know, sometimes, guys, our children, they're trying to gauge the temperature. They don't know how to react because you're what? Sweet and bitter. It shouldn't be coming out of the same mouth, the same fountain. We're slowing down here, aren't we? That's what it says. It said, and all of that refers back to the, my son, give me thine heart. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it, what? Flows the issue of life, issues of life. The contradiction. We pray, we witness, we testify, we talk kindly, graciously, pleasantly, we uplift, we encourage, we help, and then we curse, and run down, talebear, criticize, gossip. Shouldn't ought to be that way. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. Just back a few pages. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. This is pretty practical, isn't it? This isn't a deep doctrinal study, is it? Amen. Y'all remember Earl Hughes? You met Earl up in New York, right? I met Earl back in 1982. Earl stayed in my house several times. He's preached for me several times. I've been in meetings with him. I've stayed in the same place, Brother Earl, okay? I can stand here and tell you, I never heard Brother Earl utter an unkind word, a critical word about anybody. And I want to tell you something. That was well known within the circle of preachers and churches that man of God went to. That's a great testimony. That's a great testimony. Boy, I'd like to have a testimony like that. 1 Timothy 5, verse 13. And withal they learned to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies. And then this is what I want to get to. Speaking things which they what? So what's that mean? What's that mean? Look up here. Yeah, keep your mouth shut. You know what you won't get in trouble for? Not saying anything. You can't get in trouble for not saying anything unless you're asked a question. See, you got it. You got to verify everything to these kids. If the teacher asks a question, you answer him. Say amen. Her or her. Whew. Kids would have come to school and just stood before their teachers. Preacher told me to shut up. Then we'd have real issues. Let me close back in James. Verse 11. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place water, sweet water and bitter? No. Verse 12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Answer, no. Either a vine figs? No. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Let me close with Matthew 7. Go back to Matthew 7 with me, if you would, please. Read one more verse, and then we'll move on next Wednesday with some more practical study in James. I'm in Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So they do what? They look good, don't they? Verse 16. Ye shall know them by their what? Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Answers, no. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth what? Good fruit. If you've got a good heart, what are you going to do? Your speech will be good. Say amen. Now, I know our hearts are evil. Don't misunderstand me. But listen to me. If you're walking in the Spirit of God, okay, that Bible talks about kind, gracious words. What did they marvel? Even the Pharisees, they marveled at our Lord about His gracious words. Ecclesiastes talks about pleasant words. 1 Corinthians 13, and be ye kind. Nothing wrong with kind words. A soft answer does what? Turns away wrath. Where'd I leave off? Verse 17, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall what? Know them. Well, you know what? By our words, people know us. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.